Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo.
Big night, Major League Baseball, Padres and Dodgers. Again, it's like Lakers, Clippers. We need this like every couple of weeks, especially now that the NBA season's ending. So far, round one of this game, going to the Padres as Julio Urdias, who was checked after the first inning, comes up clean. I think Dodger fans are going, boy, would I like to see him, yes, because now he gave up four runs in the first inning.
Well, the question is, because that's going to be the question for all these guys, is have they been using something and now they're not?
Right.
That's the other part of this, right?
Well, that's the whole thing. That's why we said last week when this happened that we're going to know right away the guys that are using and not using. And, you know, you made a funny point about Jacob DeGrom, but I wonder how many, you know, pitchers are going to say, okay, you're checking me in the first inning, I'm clean, then sure. I come out the rest of the game, I'm still going to have some sticky stuff on it.
Yeah, as long as you're not stupid about it, because I think that's where this really, I mean, other than the, where are the runs? Never mind. Hey, change your approach, shorten up your swing, hit to the opposite field, lay down a bunt effectively, hit and run. All of those things we used to do in baseball, you know, when baseball was great, all the small ball crap that everybody tries to tell you about the National League and why the National League, they're all a bunch of liars, because all they did was complain. And so, because nobody's hitting this year, suddenly it's, all right, let's take a look. But guys got brazen, and you were catching giant glops of stuff under the, you know, on their dome, and guys reaching to their belt every other pitch and whatever else. Like, all right, don't be so brazen about it. There's a lot of cameras.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you know what this is like? This kind of reminds me of seeing how MLB is adjudicating this right now. And what we're talking about today, the first day that umpires are checking pitchers for foreign substances, they're going out for the starting pitcher after the first inning they pitch. Then each reliever is going to be checked as they come into the game. That's kind of what's going on. It's kind of like the equivalent of, hey, you know, your drug test is coming up on February 17th. Great, got it. I know you're going to. The drug test is coming up.
I just bought a lot of cranberry juice.
So whatever you have in your body, just make sure it's gone for February 17th and then go back to doing whatever you normally do. And that's kind of...
Wait, you just gave up the NFLPA.
I could replace D. Smith easy. I could win that election. I could win over him. Come on. But, you know, you wonder if that's what this is going to be for baseball. The umpires are going to start this. Okay, here's your first inning, and we're going to check you, and then we can move on. Because, look, there's always going to be pitchers who are using the sticky stuff that are going to be afraid to go away from it. They may want to bring it back. And if they bring it back and it's enough that it's visible, okay, then they'll get tossed. If it's not, then they get by without it. But MLB is making a show right now, and the last thing they want is to have pitchers come out of the game for reasons regarding and revolving around having the ball loaded up, right? So, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to check you after the first inning. So you guys know, first inning, you guys got to be clean. Okay, got it. Relievers, when you come in, you're only pitching one inning most likely. So you guys got to come into the game clean. Okay, got it. We'll come into the game clean. Whatever happens after that is going to happen. But if this is the way it's going, because this is what baseball wants, they want to be able to say, we're attacking this, and whatever players are doing it, we're going to make them use way less of it so it's not a story. Maybe this means we get more runs and there's more hitting going on, but this is how we're going to attack it. So just be smart. Don't use anything in the first inning, whatever else after that. If you're stupid enough to get caught, you're stupid enough to get caught. But this is how we're doing it, because they're going to do this for a few days and then it's going to not be a storyline. So that's why I gave Rob Manfred a lot of credit for attacking this now, when he could have waited till the end of the season. But seeing how baseball's doing it, they're not going to do anything to embarrass themselves. They're not going to do this if they thought they're going to be catching 100 people. You know, hey, we got five guys on Monday, we got eight guys on Tuesday, we got the entire doubleheader of a game on Wednesday. No, they're going to do it when they know it's going to come up with them looking favorably. So now that this is the strategy, we know we're going to check the pitchers here. This is it. Don't go crazy with it. Back off a bit. We get a few more runs. Everybody wins. If this is how they're doing it, this is part of baseball's plan to say we make it a story for a little bit, like a week or two, and then everybody's going to forget about it. And if somebody does get caught, oh, it's a big deal for that one thing. But it's like, then we're moving on from it. It's like seeing somebody get caught right now for PEDs. Someone gets caught, they say the same anything. They say, oh, you know, I had a burrito, or I had, you know,
the burrito story. Yeah,
I had an inhaler, and there was a steroid, whatever it was, and then the story kind of goes away. That's what baseball is hoping this story is about, and by doing it this way, clearly that's the avenue there are.
I like the way you did that. You got the burrito back in there with this,
burrito.
Right? It's how obvious is it? And look, nobody's going to be dumb enough, and I don't think to really go and be egregious here. But like Trevor Bauer said, what about rosin and sweat or sunscreen? Because his arms were really shiny in his last start. But you go through that process, and there's no appeals to it. Yeah, you get paid for the 10 days, but now you're branded, you know, a cheater. And there's really nothing in the process that's going to exonerate you. You either believe me or you don't. Based on what's legal to be on my body and, well, the rosin you provide me. So we have that part of this that'll still be interesting. The other is under cover of night. I think every stadium should be expecting a big truckload of baseballs to show up that might be wound to different specifications. Just saying. You know, you want a more lively ball, that's another way to fix this. Because I think for the pitchers, there was some justifiable outrage in that while they were told that this was going to be a process and, hey, we're watching and all, the understanding was that it wasn't going to happen until the offseason. So to make the change mid-season, I could see where you're a bit salty. But as they say, the rules are the rules. I can decide to enforce them whenever the hell I want. It's kind of like a holding call, a pass interference call, 10 seconds at the free throw line, 3 seconds in the lane. All of those things are just arbitrary, right? A guy trying to inbound the ball. Dude, I'm at 7.5. Get rid of the ball already because I have to call you for the 5-second violation. You know, all of those things that are kind of arbitrary. Hey, did he foul him? Is there blood? No. Okay, play on. I mean, all of those things are subject to change at a moment's notice.
Why do I picture you, you know, watching the Bucks over the weekend and you're counting every time Giannis goes to the free throw line? 6, 7, look, he's not going to make it in time. 8, 9.
No, I was the guy sitting there going, all right, now that he's started making them, he's gotten into a rhythm. So your shouting doesn't matter anymore. So he had 2 horrible air balls, quite obviously. And then he went 8 of 14 for the game.
Yeah.
If he could do that every game, mm-hmm. What the hell? Just throw the ball off the back stanchion a couple of times and then and then get back to shooting. It's all good because he at least is still willing to take a shot. I'm worried about young Ben Simmons, but that's a conversation for later. For Major League Baseball right now, I just want to see how long we're enforcing this, how many pitchers are going to be popped. I mean, it's a great little subplot to what's going on here and how many guys' ERAs suddenly balloon. Because then we really have stories.
We'll
and
know
also
soon.
Probably a few careers ruined in that process.
We will know very, very soon. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Now, the big story in National Football League, we're spending a lot of time on this. It's a huge story in the NFL, in the world. Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib has come out as the NFL's first active openly gay player. He makes the announcement earlier today on social media, and this story is everywhere. It's front page at CNN and Fox News and everywhere else. Here's a gay player in the National Football League. Now, last hour we talked about why his big wish is that hopefully one day an announcement like this isn't going to be so newsworthy. And in the NFL, he's right. We're at that point. We talked about Michael Sam, you know, being the first guy through the wall a few years ago, and that set the table for Carl Nassib to do this. And clearly it's not as big a deal as it was years ago. And now that we understand who was upset last time with Michael Sam, what happened here, they were in 7 years going by with able to adjust and understand that, okay, this is the way the world is right now. We're much more accepting of gay people in sports. Look, sports had gay players for a long time. Now we're just finding out about them publicly. So if it's going to happen in the National Football League, as far as, hey, in a year or two, this won't even be a storyline. It'll be, hey, so-and-so is gay. Oh, okay, great. I mean, that's going to happen really fast. But think about it in terms of outside of the NFL and accepting homosexuality in society, right? We're going to use the locker room as a motif for our discussion here. Is that men don't feel like, you know, 23, 24-year-olds now who are coming into professional sports don't feel like they have to live up to that toxic masculinity example anymore of being able, I'm going to dominate another person. I'm going to have certain thoughts about who you are sexually and different avenues of that. That's different now. You know, the people who are coming up now, you know, they're in their early 20s, the Generation Zers, are like, you know what? There's so many other things that go into being a man. And one of these things, this toxic masculinity that we've had for so long, is not one of it. And so you have these kids that if they're, and let's say they played sports in high school, they had gay teammates. They don't care. Okay, we're moving on now. We're so much more accepting of that in society. Doesn't mean there's not outliers. Doesn't mean there's not issues that are going to have to be fought. But overwhelming, you see the reaction today to Carl Nassib coming out. It's a huge headline. And then what is it? Are we going to see a huge firestorm back and forth of what this means over the next few days? This is a huge story today. And it will have a little bit of legs in it with, you know, with Nassib when he continues to speak, with other players coming in about support of him. But this story is going to go away rather quickly, which I think is what Nassib was hoping for. Like, hey, I'm making an announcement. I'm gay. I'm hoping to help people. And it's going to be, but it's a part of my life. He said, I have a great life. I have friends, family, everything else. And he's hoping that that's going to happen. And in general society, like I said, this is a big story today, but is it really something that is going to have a lot of legs that people are going to be talking about up and down? No. I mean, in the last 10 years, you know, the world has evolved so much, so many things that we, a few years ago, that would have been such a big deal that people would have said, I'm on this side, we're never going to meet. Now, some of those things are, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we got a lot of other things that we have to worry about, but this is something that, yeah, okay, our gay players in the locker room in the National Football League. Okay, yeah, openly gay players, okay. I mean, it's been 7 years since Michael Sam, where there was a lot of resistance to it. The world has changed, people have changed, people continue to evolve. And understand that the world is filled with all kinds with different people that have all kinds of different things they like. And everybody is now understanding when you get to that Generation Z in their early 20s to mid 20s that I don't care about that stuff anymore. So not only are you going to see it in the National Football League, but we're seeing it now already, because really this will be, you know, he'll do some interviews, which is great. And I hope he draws a lot of attention to the different charities he's working for. And we pay attention to it, but in the end, it's not going to be some big, hey, can he make it in the league? Are the Raiders going to cut him? Or, you know, what about other players? How do his teammates feel about this? We're not going to get those stories because nobody cares about those stories anymore. So he's going to be able to do it, which is awesome. He'll be able to do exactly what he wanted to do, is to say, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping to do this, and then I'm moving on with my life and I'm playing football. And that, honestly, is the best part of this story.
Yeah, I would be caution using the word nobody, because I will guarantee there are going to be folks that'll, and it's just...
Yes, you're right. There's always outliers, but the idea,
look, in the locker room, as we talked with Jason Lockenfour last hour, not to our knowledge, because there's out and out, right? Out to your teammates, out to your friends, out to your family, versus public decisions of how much you're coming forward. And we've seen a lot of people in the entertainment world that have done so in the last year and celebrated. And it is Pride Month, so Nassib coming out in this way, he done in terms of his statement, right? He's like, I'm a private guy. If I reject your interview, don't be mad at me, right? And it's like, that's not what I'm doing this for. But his play will be scrutinized. You'd be kidding yourself if you didn't think folks are going to be looking at every play and going Zapruder film. There's going to be one or more people, media or otherwise, doing those kind of analyses as you go through. In his locker room, does it mean 100% of the guys are on board? No. But the get along, right? If you can help us win, there's the, you know, the different thresholds that folks have for acceptance and support of things in their lives in so many different fashions, and sexuality is one of them. And for the NFL, yeah, it's a new territory for an active player, and I wish him the best. Obviously, some great response today, but I don't think anybody wants to be the first in terms of NFL players hitting the keyboard to go against it.
No, I'm
right, because you saw a number of stories from our friends that have been on the show. You know, different reporters saying, "Well, you know, I talked to a coordinator that asked about this a couple years ago. He dropped every word that you know, sends up red flags of, wow, we got a problem here. And he goes, well, that coach no longer has a job. So it's kind of, you know, the way the world works and however, in kind of celebrating their joblessness in that moment for that, having that attitude. And you do with that what you will. But that part, that attitude is still going to be something within hierarchy, locker rooms, right? I mean, we've talked about the NFL putting out a statement. That's a pretty big deal because, you know, there's always the looking around trying to figure out which way the wind blows, as it were, related to revenues and fan bases and everything else. And I think you cut to the chase is that if you're providing good effort on the field and results and we're winning, everybody's on board, right? So, you know, the old saying, winning cures all ills for people, at least momentarily. But, you know, I think it's going to be curious, right? We got a couple of weeks where we're in the dead period for the NFL. So this will become a story again once we get to training camp, at least for a day or two, because every player coming in is going to be asked about it, at least in Las Vegas.
I don't know that they're there, but I don't believe at all that there's going to be the opposition to it that we saw, or the hesitancy that we saw with teams. Look, because nobody really gave him a chance, gave Michael Sam a chance. He didn't draft him until, you know, he went very late. All of these things happen. There's just not going to be that much of caring about it this time around. There will be, I agree, there's going to be some. You will see some opposition, because there's always some opposition. But it's not going to be like it was last time, where Michael Sam is like, what do I have to do to get in the league and get a fair shot? This is going to be, okay, Carl Nassib's here, he's playing, all right, and we're moving on. And it will be a story for a little bit, and then it's going to go away, and he's going to get to concentrate on football. Now, if he doesn't play well, okay, yeah, you're going to get that, and you're not going to know what kind of criticism is going to be about him playing or about his contract, because he signed a big deal and he's only started a couple of games last year, so he really has to understand he's got to pick it up this year. But going over around it, I don't see that overwhelming aura of divisiveness that there would have been years ago on this. That's kind of where I'm going with it.
Yeah, it's a different culture, right? It's an evolution, and certainly there's a different sense of respect and pride. I use that term purposefully, related to the acceptance and celebration of people living their truths for most people. that's I guess where we're at. So it'll be curious for the NFL, long defined and mired in controversy and in so many different respects, that we'll see, you know, how this is handled, and I'll be curious to see any future league statements upon it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smiths here with Mike Harmon. I'm telling you, this Carl Nassib story is, it's just how he's going to want it to be, and that's the way it should be. This is a big, big day. But coming up next, we got another big story out of the NFL. Who was Tom Brady MFing earlier today? Oh, yeah, we got that next right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
My guy.
The Dodgers getting back into it against the Padres. Mookie Betts with a home run. Make it 4-1 now. Padres lead the Dodgers as the Padres bat right now in the bottom of the third inning. Now, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Carl Nassib earlier today. It's a huge, huge story. Where I thought we were going to spend most of the night tonight, well, number one, talking about how I picked the Hawks to go to the Eastern Conference Finals before the season, and I predicted they would play the Bucks, and that's happening. But I really thought we were going to spend more time talking about Tom Brady and who's the MF-er he's talking about.
Well, the night just started, so let's go!
So earlier today, what went out in a teaser for HBO's Barbershop, Tom Brady, other players being interviewed, Chelsea Handler is doing the interviewing, and you know, Draymond Green is talking about his career, and Tom Brady is as well. This little teaser was put out there, and it's Brady telling a story about his free agency in the past offseason and about one team in particular that wasn't interested in signing him. And here's the money quote.
One of the teams, they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
Sounded like they had a capacity crowd.
Oh, Tom Brady's got to the IDGAF part of his career. It's like, you know what? I really don't care anymore. You know, I was a great teammate. I was a great quarterback. And where did that get me? I had to leave New England because my head coach, who I didn't rip publicly, even though I disagree with him, all these things happened. They still wound up pushing me out. So you know what? I don't care anymore. I only got a couple of years left. So now I don't like you and you and you and you and blank you and blank you and blank you. Brady just doesn't care anymore. I'm just going to say whatever I want to say about whoever else. So now you get the whole, you're going to stick with that mother blanker over me. This is the new Tom Brady. And we're going to get this now probably in some sort of regular intervals for the rest of his career.
No, I dig this. This is the guy you need to be. And certainly at the end of your career, why not? You bottled it up for 20 years. And now it's time to think about what the next steps are. And you can do this without repercussion. Because you're the GOAT. I mean, you're just like, hey, what are you going to do? Tell me I didn't succeed? And just laugh like a mat, just like that studio audience was. Or everybody that was sitting around going, yeah, you're funny. You know, you're funny. You're a funny guy. So you have that going for you, that you can always just be like, well, you don't like it? You know, I don't really care. And eventually he's got to figure out beyond the TB12 business. Right, because that was the other story that was circulating at the end of the week and into the weekend. Even he's saying, well, me playing to 50, I don't know about that. So he recognizes the finish line is there in the not too distant future while he's working with Trask the way he is. And that's a benefit to the squad. And the fact that he was helping to scout wide receivers ahead of the draft and all of those things. You're trying to figure out what the life is post quarterback. So why not just say what's on your mind? You're in amongst very highly successful people in that room as well. So they all recognize greatness because they're also looking in the mirror and patting themselves on the back too.
You know, because it's kind of like before we get to who he could have been talking about, because I have it down to a couple of candidates here,
yeah.
Is that it's like, you know, everybody gets to that point in their lives where they get, you know what, I really just don't care anymore. I'm not going to hold my tongue. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. And, you know, my dad is at that point in his life now, which is why he tells me every day, hey, what happened? I went to Pavilions, which grocery store. What happened? I got in an argument with this guy. I'm like, okay. Then he comes over the next day. Hey, what happened? I went to Roger Dunn Golf Shop. What happened? I got in an argument with this guy. I'm like, Dad, what happened? Well, you know, I wanted to get up there. I had to ask a question. He's on the phone. He doesn't ask me what's going on. And so I say, hey, can you get off the phone? Can you get off the phone? I got a question. Can you get off the phone? I got a question. And I'm like, Dad, you got to watch out. But everybody gets to that point in their lives. You know, I just don't care anymore. And I'm going to say things that I want to say. And honestly, as a radio host, I felt that that's really helped me because early on in my career coming up at ESPN was always, you know, don't say this. Don't go too crazy saying this or saying this. You want to say something here. And they almost wanted you to be in a box where, you know, really strong opinions they didn't like. You know, it's like, well, you can be, but don't say anything. Don't say this team is really awful. Don't say they suck or there's certain things like, wow. And I remember getting to Fox and getting to the point where like, you know what? I'm at the IDGAF part of my career now where, you know, as long as I protect the brand, I say, you know, I'm responsible with what I say and I back things up because there's reasons why I say certain things I say. Yeah, there's no reason why I can't be at that part of my career, you know, and it's made me a better radio host. Understand that, you know what? I don't need to worry about saying this team sucks. This guy's terrible. This guy stinks. You know, it's, ooh, don't say that. Don't say that. No, I don't care anymore. I'm going to say a guy stinks. When Ben Simmons stinks, he stinks. When he really stinks, he stinks. I'm going to say it because he did. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, Ben Simmons, I don't know. You want a great point? You want a great story? Here's a great story before we get into this, because this is great. So I was hosting one time at ESPN. I was hosting the post-game show of the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio. Right. And it was okay. And it was the time that went from the end of the game until when my show would begin, which was 11 o'clock, right on the East Coast. And so I was like, all right, great. Or 11 o'clock in the West Coast, sorry. So it's 11 o'clock. So I'm like, all right, great. So I remember coming off the Celtics and the Lakers, the first NBA Finals when the Celtics won. And I was hosting. And my boss came in to me and he says, okay, so this is a big deal. Okay, yes, I understand. He goes, one thing I want to tell you, you know, for this, the show's going to probably be about 20, 25 minutes long. I said, okay. He goes, no opinions. And I said, what? He said, no opinions. I said, what do you mean no opinions? He goes, no opinions. You know, you're going to break down the game and talk about it, but no opinions. I go, so if someone shoots 5 for 23, I can't say they were terrible tonight? No, no opinions. I said, so what am I going to say? Boy, so-and-so really struggled tonight. Boy, you know, maybe tomorrow's a better day.
You can't say struggle.
You're kidding. He goes, no opinions. I go, what the hell am I going to say if I can't give my opinion? You're really telling me no opinions. Swear to God, this is a true story. And I'm like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say for 25 minutes? Hey, here's the box score. Kobe Bryant scored 32 points. He was 6 out of 15 from the field. No, you're not in a normal night for Kobe, but he still had three threes, but it wasn't enough. The Celtics playground. What do you want me to say?
Well, you wouldn't be the
say?
First guy to do that for 15 minutes
goodness.
At a time.
I'm like you actually told me no opinions. No, and I'm like, what am I going to say? And it went from being something I was excited to do to something that I just going to want to be done with it and get to my show so I can say, hey, so-and-so stunk. All right, this guy was bad. This was a word. This is a bad thing. Anything was no opinions. So I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, man. Really? No opinions? So, you know, that's just a backdrop. You know, here's Brady who's going through the whole thing. You know, his whole life has been, I'm going to say the right things because, as much as I don't get along well with Bill Belichick and I would like things to be different, I would like to be consulted. I would like to be someone that they want to keep around. That didn't really get me anywhere. At the end of 20 years with them, they still wanted to push me out the door, so I'm not going to do it anymore. And this has made Tom Brady much more interesting. You know, I mean, look, he just gave us 3 weeks, Mike, of, you know, my knee really was bothering me last year. It's why I wasn't so great the first 13 weeks of the season. Yeah, okay, I saw it. No, but then there's another story. Just so you know, there's another story. Somebody else saying his knee really was bothering him last year, and he had to get it taken care of. Okay, that's great. That's great. He's fine now, but he just got it taken care of. It's like a week would go by and we would get Tom Brady's knee really bothered him. So, but this part of Brady is like, okay, this type of Brady I'd like to have for 20 years. You know, telling the truth about things, saying all this, and saying, you're going to keep that MF-er over me. Sometimes being able to just give your opinion and not have to worry about what people think about it is very liberating. And he has taken that to the next level. It's like, okay, I don't really care anymore. I'm going to say what I want to say about Gronk, about you. I'm going to go party and I'm going to be carried off the boat because I've had a little too much avocado tequila. I don't care anymore, man. I don't give a crap. I just won the Super Bowl again. This is great. And I guarantee you, he's saying to himself right now, if I could have just done this 10 years ago, how much more fun would I have had in my career? Because winning is fun and being able to achieve is fun. You get your joy out of the game, but boy, everything else that surrounded it, how much more fun would that have been for Brady if this was who he was or who he was allowed to be for like the last 10 or 12 years?
Well, he also, agreed to it. Sometimes you have rules, not only to your employment, but to keeping a locker room happy, right? To keeping those relationships, whether they really ever had a personal relationship to speak of, he and Belichick, it never got in the way of the professional side by biting his tongue and kind of going along with the flow. So, you know, you make a business decision. It's kind of like a Derrick Henry's running at you and you're a cornerback. You got to decide, am I going to try to take this on? Or am I going to do an Ole tackling maneuver? Or are we really doing this? And how many times do you see a guy go, I just couldn't wrap him up. You know, they come up, look, I went high. What am I going to do? He ran, and he plants you. So it's the same thing, right? You make your, you and your ESPN days, you would have to make the business choice. Am I at a point in my career where I'm not worried, A, about getting another job, B, I've got some money in the bank, and C, I'm not going to go catch hell when I get home. That's part three to all of this as you go. So for Tom Brady, look, let's just celebrate that we have it now. I don't know how long it is. I don't know what his next career is going to be. Is it just going to be speeches and TED Talks? And no, my hope is that he's front and center, and not that he's a coach, but that he gets in line for the gravy train of sitting in a booth and giving us some quips. Think of the stories he could tell.
Twitter at Jets. How about a Fresca? Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show. Those stories they'd be legendary. Legendary, Mike.
Making fun of the Jets. Yeah, legendary. And I remember when we were going to play this guy. Let's go back. This was 2006. I mean, he's got a lot of Jets stories, I'm sure. So, sorry about that.
But as far as Brady, all right, who it could possibly be? Right. I got it down to this. Like, if you're saying what's the percentage chance when he says you're going to stick with that MF-er over me, there's a small part, maybe 10%, that he was talking about Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears. But really, did he really want to go to the Bears? I didn't see the Bears as one of those big destinations at the end of the season for him. So maybe a little bit of it, because clearly when you say you're going to stick with Trubisky over Tom Brady.
Well, but a good defense.
Yeah, sure.
Playoff team now, two of the last 3 years. Allen Robinson and I don't know. I would give it a small sliver of the likelihood pie.
But I would say the three people it could be. Two of them you're going to say, okay. They're going to say, whoa. I would say Jimmy Garoppolo clearly had a lot of evidence on it because he wanted to go to San Francisco. And you know, Brady has a bit of, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, not envy, but I had to get him pushed out because Bill Belichick wanted him over me. And now I got to prove this point. And now you'd rather go with Jimmy Garoppolo than me. So I think Garoppolo clearly isn't at the top of the leaderboard there. We talked to Jason Lockenfora, who said probably the Chargers, who said, we know they were in on Brady near the end. And then they kind of passed on him thinking we have Tyrod Taylor, but we know we're going to get a guy in the draft. But at that point, it was just Tyrod Taylor. So I can see Brady saying, you're going to stick with that guy over me, really? But the other guy that's right in that mix, I guarantee you it didn't happen, but I guarantee you the other guy was Daniel Jones. Brady wanted to go to New York. He wanted to own he's going to the number one media market. The Giants would have had him in a second, and clearly that would have been his second home. He would have been able to increase his empire even bigger. But when it came down to it, the Giants, even though they were in it a little bit, weren't in it at the very, very end. But clearly, Daniel Jones over me, you're going to stick with that guy over me? So I'm going to say one of those three guys between Garoppolo, Tyrod Taylor, Daniel Jones. That's who it was he was talking about.
I'll give you a couple more. One, Scott Zolak out there in Boston hypothesized that it could have been Tennessee.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Scott Zolak said, No.
I mean,
with Scott Zolak over me?
No. I hypothesized that perhaps it was over Tannehill there in Tennessee and the team that he had left that went and hired Ryan Fitzpatrick instead, the Miami Dolphins. Staying in division. Mm. And then certainly for the fun of this show, Sam Darnold, really? Really? Mm. Come on, we saw enough. I should be the guy there. So, that's the beauty of the turnover. Not that I want anybody to lose their job, quarterback, coach, whatever, but it allows for wild speculation. And who knows, maybe the first day of training camp. So do you think Tom Brady was talking about you? Response.
You talking about me? So we talking about you? Everybody's asking themselves. Was he talking about me? Was he talking about me? Was it 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 me? Could have been you, Mike Harmon. Could have been talking about you.
Well, I have no doubt. Look, I've got about 10 years, I think, until I have my insert acronym here moment, because I got to create my own. I got to be able to brand it when I go to the I'm just going to say whatever the hell I want, because I clearly have not ventured far enough into hot take nonsense at this point in my career. I still come, I think, too logically oftentimes for my own good.
But coming up next, one NBA star, and I use star in loose terms because he won't be a star for very long, finds himself in the crosshairs after a wrong side of the box score result a day ago. We'll tell you what is next for them. It might not be a conversation they're going to be happy with, but it's reality. It's next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
So let's advance the Ben Simmons conversation by a few days. Because, you know, it was Thursday we told you, Ben Simmons, this is it for him with the 76ers. He's going to have to be traded. He's not an offensive force. Doesn't look to take his shot. He can't make his free throws at the end of games. He won't shoot. He's going to be on another team.
That was your opinion. I was against that. But yeah.
Congratulations to everybody who came to that today. Ben Simmons is down. He needs to go. So let's advance the conversation a bit on Ben Simmons, who has been a big part of the conversation for the past couple of days, and especially since the failures of the 76ers in Game 7. Number one, Doc Rivers is going to dock, right? I mean, I'm going to throw everybody else under the bus. When he's asked about Ben Simmons coming back next season, he says, I can't answer that. But then says, they have a way to help him out for next year. Okay, that's great. Now, maybe it means we can help him out, or we're going to help him out of Philadelphia and to another team. Oh, but here's the thing about Simmons, Mike, which I don't see how things get better for him. All right, he's a really talented player who won't take shots, maybe because he can't make free throws. So, yeah, okay, is Ben Simmons going to need a guy that has to shoot better free throws? Yeah. Is he going to have to shoot three-pointers? Yeah. But you're asking a guy who's already 5 years into his NBA career to say, okay, now you need to do these big things and change the way you play and now do these things great. Well, it's been 24 years I've been playing basketball. I've never done these things great. Now I got to do them great? Yeah. Ben Simmons kind of is who he is. To think that he's going to be suddenly a player next year that's going to, oh, now he's going to be 80% free throw shooter? No, not going to happen. All right, he's going to suddenly take all kinds of shots in the fourth quarter? Not going to happen. He is who he is, which is he's really good for what he is. Is he a little bit overpaid? Yeah. But as we told you, another team is going to find him to be valuable as long as he doesn't need to be the second best player on the team. And if he can go somewhere and slide in, whether it's the Lakers, the Knicks, Golden State, somewhere I don't have to be that guy because there's other people that do it and I can have a specific role and not worry about being the second guy to score, he can have a pretty good rest of his NBA career. But to think he's going to suddenly be great, it's not happening. He's going to be this guy the rest of his career. He's going to score about, it's like Jason Kidd when he went from scoring like 15 a game, then he was 14 and 13 and 12, then he was barely scoring 10 a game. That's kind of who Ben Simmons is. He can go somewhere and really succeed in the right system where he can create. He doesn't have to worry about being on the floor at the end and making free throws and making big shots because other players that can do that. As long as he can be a little bit more aggressive driving in the lane, they can figure things out. But where he sits right now is not happening. And to think that he's going to be a different player where suddenly, okay, just do this and this and improve next year. This isn't sixth grade where they tell you, hey, and during the summer, you got to work on fractions so you can do better at math in the fall. I mean, that's an easy thing to work on. Suddenly tell an NBA star, guy's been an all-star three times. Hey, you got to hit your free throws more. You got to take more shots in the fourth quarter. You got to start taking threes. Wait, what? Yes, do that this summer. I'm not going to do that. This kind of Ben Simmons is who he is. He just needs to find a place that's going to accept him for who he is, and then he can succeed as long as he doesn't have as much responsibility as the Sixers put on.
Well, and I think that's one of the big things that remains to be seen, right? At 24 years old, we're not fully formed. Right, we're still growing, developing as basketball players. Yeah, you have your habits and routines. The biggest thing, and I know I heard Doug Gottlieb talking about it. I saw the quote, and we've heard it in the promos world a little bit. Is you know they had Markelle Fultz there years ago. Remember, suddenly he couldn't shoot, and the process instead of working and developing, he got shipped out and he's cobbled, you know, he's a solid player. He's never going to be the star that he was projected to be by the lofty draft spot. But for Ben Simmons, he doesn't have to be great. He's just got to be willing to shoot. And that's where the question is in terms of the mental approach to the game. And that was something Doug had commented on and something that we discussed a little bit last week of, all right, how do you change the habits? How do you get him where he's mentally okay with it with the sports psychologist a little bit? It's got a lot of on-court work, obviously, and all those reps and everything, you know, the rededication. And I'd love to see it. I hold out hope that part of his game can at least become adequate. Right, because obviously he's an elite defender, and when in a flow of a game, he's an elite or at least a good to great point guard. Problem is, final minutes, you can't trust him. Second halves of games, certainly as we saw in this series, disappeared. So I'd like him to get to that functional phase, and I hope that he can get whatever help and accepts that help. You know, $32 million is an awful lot because you're talking about moving him. Jason, the one thing, there's not a lot of organizational stability in most NBA places. So when you mentioned Golden State, that's about the only place where there might be a really soft landing.
Well, the Lakers would be a soft landing, too. Because they clearly they don't have to worry about Dennis Schroeder and that money. So, hey, we could take that and put it someplace else. That could be a soft landing for him. You go play defense with Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks, but are they really going to trade him to the Knicks? I mean, probably not. But he's talented enough.
You're telling me how much you need in offense, and now you're saying, hey, go trade for a guy that isn't shooting and makes $33 million a year?
We're going to get hit. We're going to get him and Lillard. What are we talking? We're getting him and Lillard.
I'm
what are you
sorry.
Talking about?
I forgot about the combo platter.
Fine. A different take on the biggest NFL story of the night next, Fox.